A Sudden Burst of Sunlight. Written by Bread and Roses. Narrated by Rhea 314. Fandom, The Hands of the Emperor by Victoria Goddard. The Lays of the Hearthfire by Victoria Goddard. Nine Worlds by Victoria Goddard. Relationships. Cleofer Kip Medang and Fionni Durgalin. Artoran Damara / Cleofer Kip Medang. Fionni liked to be up early. She enjoyed the calm coolness of pre-dawn, the lack of people in the hallways of the palace when she ran errands. It felt special and exciting, like something marvelous could happen and she would be the only witness. It was also satisfying to finish her work early and be able to take a walk into the city or in the gardens with Otto or Kaya or her other friends. This morning, however, the apartments of the Lord of Zunith, home of Cleofer Lord Medang, Viceroy of Zunith, were in unaccustomed turmoil. Was he still the Viceroy now that his Radiancy had returned? Fionni hadn't been told how these things worked. She was grateful that they hadn't had to move immediately. Lord Medang had given orders to move his residence out of these chambers the evening before last, after he received a message that the heir was in Solara. All the staff had worked desperately to comply, but only the small objects and out-of-season clothing had been packed before the new lady had arrived. Upon introduction to Franzel, she had insisted that Lord Medang remain in residence until the Jubilee, and that she would take the equally grand apartments formerly assigned to the Lady of Eleanor. Franzel had been extremely relieved, and Lady Aurelia had risen in his esteem to almost eclipse Lord Medang. And then, Lord Medang did not return. It wasn't unusual for him to work at all hours, of course, but he usually spent late nights in his study, not roaming the palace. It was unusual for him to be gone without a word to the staff. Moreover, his Radiancy was back. They had hoped Lord Medang might have a few of his burdens lifted from his shoulders. Franzel had fretted all evening. Shawnee had tried to reassure him and oversaw the unpacking. And Fionni had thought about his Radiancy's return and the lifted taboos and hoped. She was in the dressing room early that morning, removing garments that needed minor repairs. Lord Medang would always hang up his own robes, which was intended to help, but as he didn't notice a ripped hem or a missing button, only made more work. She turned back from the wardrobe to find Lord Medang unexpectedly right there. Fionni jumped and dropped her armful of peacock blue Ahalo cloth. "You startled me, sir," she said. Lord Medang smiled. "My apologies, Fionni. Here, let me help." And he bent down beside her to help gather the cloth up from the floor. She swatted him away. "Leave it alone, sir. It's fragile." He grinned and held up his hands in mock surrender. Lord Medang did not like his staff to be particularly deferential. He appreciated her forthrightness and even teasing, and they had developed a comfortable routine in which she treated him as she would her unruly younger brothers. She tried not to think too much about the strangeness of acting the older sister to the Viceroy of the world, who was old enough to be her father at least. It worked well for them. Fionni laid the fallen robe aside, then turned to look him over, eyes narrowed. Lord Medang was wearing last evening's court costume, sheer bronze veiling over midnight brocade. It was wrinkled, and the finicky outer layer wasn't hanging correctly. He had not looked like that when he left yesterday. "Here, sir, let me help you out of that," she said hastily, as his hands went to the fastenings of the outer robe. Surprisingly, he stepped back, out of reach.
"No need, thank you, Fionni," he said.
Fionni frowned at him, hands on her hips. "Now, sir, this one is very delicate," she said firmly. "I'll not have you tearing it." He resisted visibly for a moment before he nodded shortly. This was very unusual. Lord Madang did not expect to be dressed and undressed like most aristocrats. Even so, he had learned to submit to her concern for the fine fabrics and precise lines of his more formal clothing. Apart from that one moment with his islander finery, he did not object to letting her work. She removed the outer layer, and then she saw the reason for his shyness. There were several carefully placed dark marks decorating the pale bronze skin just below his collarbone. None were visible when he was fully dressed, but they were entirely unmistakable. Lord Madang looked past her shoulder fixedly. There was a touch of color on his cheeks and the tips of his ears. Fionni didn't think she had ever seen him blush before. She told herself firmly not to jump to any conclusions. She didn't know who had put those love bites there, and if the timing was suggestive, that wasn't her business. She had a job to do, and the most important part of her job was setting her gentleman at ease. Fionni briskly removed the tunic and trews without comment or, she hoped, visible reaction to the marks. "Now, sir," she said, "would you like a night robe?" She hoped he might consent to a few hours of sleep. It was really very early. "No, thank you," he said unsurprisingly. "Just work robes, please." Fionni nodded and selected a set of working robes in a fine forest green linen, holding it up for his approval. He nodded appreciatively and reached out a hand to take it from her. Something glinted on his hand as it moved, and she looked at it in surprise. Lord Madang did not have the distaste for jewelry that he had for cosmetics, but he was firm about needing his hands free and rings could catch on paper. It wasn't a ring, she realized. It was a part of his skin, a shining gold tattoo at the base of his finger. It hadn't been there yesterday, she was certain. Fionni thought of Commander Omo and the gold marks on his hands and arms. All at once, she knew what this must be. She gasped, raising a hand too late to cover her mouth. Lord Madang, of course, did not miss her reaction. He didn't blush this time. Instead, he met her eyes, eyebrows raised in inquiry, or in challenge. Fionni's eyes flooded with tears. It was all true. They were as much in love as she had ever imagined. She wasn't just a silly girl with a romantic story. And now, at last, His Radiancy and Lord Madang could be together. "Oh, sir," Fionni whispered, "I'm so happy for you." Lord Madang fixed her with a sharp look. A small wrinkle appeared between his brows, but it did not frighten her. She knew him. "You do pay attention, don't you?" Lord Madang said quietly. "Yes, sir," Fionni said. She always did. "Thank you, Fionni," he said. Nothing more, but she could feel his sincerity. She managed a slightly watery smile and bobbed a curtsy. He smiled back. "Now, sir," she said, as crisply as she could manage, "I shall take some of your clothing to the tower to have in reserve. I know that you did not encounter Lady Yillette, for she would never have permitted you to leave in such a state, but fresh clothing is always better to start the day." His eyes widened at the mention of Lady Yillette, just like always. She giggled, just like always. "All right, Fionni," Lord Madang said. "Off with you now." She bobbed again, arms full of clothing, and slipped out the door. Otto's shift would be over soon, just as soon as she had completed her errand. She couldn't wait to see him. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.